You are currently the only person in this conference.
Thank you. Hi, everybody. This is Sarah Pennington. I'm with Kentucky. I just wanted to welcome you to the call. We're going to get started in just a minute. Everybody that's coming on the call right now is on mute. We're going to wait another minute or two. I can see folks are coming into the call pretty rapidly here, so we're going to wait for more folks to join us, and we'll get started in a minute. So I'll be back to talk with you in just a minute.
Thank you.
Hi, everybody. My name is Sarah Pennington, and I'm an organizer with Kentuckians for the Commonwealth. Welcome to our Stand for Kentucky Action Call. We're going to go ahead and get started right now. One thing I want, have your phones handy so you can hit on your keypad. Just make sure that's handy. We're going to do a little interactive thing here in a bit. But for right now, I'm going to, Jess Hayes-Lucas is going to talk to us.
Hey, everybody. This is Jess. Thank you so much for joining this call. We're super excited to talk with y'all tonight. We wanted to start out with a little bit of interactivity. We're mostly testing this out for later, but we also just want to know, kind of, we're curious about where folks are from. So a little bit later on in the call, we're going to do some presentation. We're going to hear from our friend Tona, who is in Frankfort this week, and we're going to hear from Leslie down in Paducah and from Dana down in Bowling Green. And then we want you all to be able to share some ideas with each other. So we're going to test that technology right now. We're going to try something.
This is Sarah. So we're going to, and while people are starting to get on the call, this lets folks get on the call, but we're also learning some stuff about who all is out there through the magic of the interwebs. If we're going to do a little poll and ask you a question about where you are in the state. And so I'm going to, before we tell you what numbers to push, but there's different regions. We're doing the region of southeastern Kentucky, northern and northeastern Kentucky, central Kentucky, the Louisville metro area, and from western Kentucky, or if you don't live in the state. So I'm going to work through those. So be thinking about the area you're in. It doesn't have to be sort of a hard and fast geographic line, but it just helps us see who all's here. So if you are calling from southeastern Kentucky, press 1. So on your keypad, get your phone out and press 1. If you are in the area that's sort of south of I-64 and east of I-75, so if you're calling from southeastern Kentucky, press 1. Let me see if I can figure out how people are responding. Oh, yeah, we've got a few hands going up, people from southeastern Kentucky. So if you are from southeastern Kentucky, press 1. Say this just like one or two more times, so give folks time to do it. So if you're in the area of the state sort of south of I-64 and east of 75, go ahead and press 1. One more chance. Press 1 if you're from southeast Kentucky. So right now we have, somebody just pressed it. We have 4 people who've identified as being from southeastern Kentucky right now. So we're going to move on. So if you are from northern or northeastern Kentucky, so pretty much above I-75, press 2. So if you're calling or live in northern or northeastern Kentucky, on your keypad, press 2 now. So press 2 if you are or live or you're calling from the area north of I-75. So far we've got 8 folks calling from there. I'll give you another minute in case you need to find your keypad. So if you're from northern or northeastern Kentucky, press 2. Press 2 if you're north of I-75. Okay, we'll go ahead and stop that. And we have 8 folks from who identified as being from northern or northeastern Kentucky. And if you're calling from central Kentucky, so this is a pretty big swath here, however you want to define it, but like Lexington, Berea, Danville, any of that area, and outlying from any of that. If you're from central Kentucky, press 3. If you're from the sort of central part of the state, press 3 on your keypad. Got 15, 17, press 3 if you're from the central Kentucky, Lexington, Berea, Danville, other areas around there, part of the state. One more chance. If you are from central Kentucky, press 3 on your keypad. Looks like we have 17. We've got just 2 more to go. So Louisville, if you're in Louisville, the Jefferson County or surrounding counties, press 4. If you're from Louisville, Jefferson County area, press 4. You're from the Louisville metro area, you're calling from there, or there's home for you. If you're calling from somewhere else, you can go ahead and press 4 on your keypad now. And yes, I know this sounds sort of like a public radio telethon, but it has to be repeated to give folks some time to find the phone and do that. So press 4 if you're calling from the Louisville sort of metro area thereabouts. And it looks like we have 7 folks from that area. And then the last one, if you're calling from Western Kentucky or you don't live in Kentucky, press 5. So that's the area from, say, around Bowling Green and Owensboro, out west towards Paducah, anywhere out of state, go ahead and press 5 on your keypad. Press 5 if you're anywhere out in Western Kentucky, however you want to define that, or you're calling from out of state, go ahead and press 5. Your one last chance to press 5 if you're from Western Kentucky. So we have 7 folks from Western Kentucky. So thanks, y'all, for doing that. It really helps us know that the technology is working and who all is sort of here on the call. We have right now about 45 people on the call.
That's awesome. And so it seems like, this is Jess again, y'all, and so it seems like that based on where folks are coming from, that a good chunk of you all probably weren't at the action on Tuesday, and so it might be good to spend a little time to review why we did what we did and what we think the impact was. And this can be something that you all share out a little bit about later on in your small groups, too. But basically, that we have been working for the Kentucky that we know is possible for some time now, but we are in a moment right now where on the federal level and on the state level, our elected leaders seem united against a healthy democracy. And so because we're in this moment where it is more difficult to be heard, more difficult to have our voices part of the process, and in fact we saw that in the very first week of the session in January when all the union folks were blocked out of the committee room when they were voting on the right to work legislation. When it's harder to have that kind of access, we have to create a moment for ourselves where we are sure to be seen. And so that's why we did this action. We stood silently in our power all throughout the Capitol annex basement, up the tunnel, up through the Capitol building, so that the House members and the Senate members would have to see us as they go into their session that day. And then we created a lot of beautiful noise together as they went into session. So we did that. We wanted to be seen, and we were seen. A lot of legislators came through, especially that annex tunnel over to the Capitol building, and so we'll hear from Tona what that was like. And then we also saw, you all probably saw Sarah, probably some of you all who were there did this too. You filmed some of this on your phones and shared it out with your networks. We know that one of the clips from our action was shared more than 400 times on Facebook, and more than 23,000 people watched the clip. That might have been several of you all who are on the phone right now. So, you know, thank you for folks who participated in that. Thank you for sharing those things out and for extending this conversation to other folks in Kentucky, because it just helps lift the noise that we want to make and helps lift our visibility of resistance. So this was a tactic, and some of y'all, I think it was Clara from Madison County on Tuesday, said, yeah, this was fun, and we also need to talk about legislation, and we need to be lobbying our legislators. And we are totally down with that, too. So it's a tactic that fits into this larger legislative strategy that KFTC has. And then KFTC also has a larger strategy for building transformative power in Kentucky that legislative strategy sits within. So the thing that's worth noting about all of that is that this legislative session is just very different than any that we have had. So our approach this session is to have a few different legislative goals. We want to stand with frontline communities. We want to build power back home. And in Frankfort, we want to resist. So we want to push back the bad policies that are going to be coming at us from all angles in Frankfort, and we want to build power back home. Now, what that might look like, for example, one of the things that came up in our time together on Tuesday was that House Bill 14, which is the bill that is called the Blue Lives Matter bill, was going to be up for a committee hearing on the next day on Wednesday. So unfortunately, that bill passed through the committee. There were 2 votes Representative Daryl Owens and Representative Joni Jenkins both voted no on that bill, but all of the other legislators on that committee voted yes, including two legislators that KFTC had endorsed in the election, Representative Birch and Representative Cantrell. So, you know, in Frankfort, our work looks like holding those legislators accountable for their vote and trying to stop that bill as it progresses through the House and into the Senate. And back home, this is really the work of grassroots organizing. At home, our work is to have conversations with our neighbors, conversations with our family members, conversations that let us hold those legislators accountable for that vote and help build a better and deeper shared understanding of what that bill does and why it's an example of a really harmful bill. So all of that to say that the work continues, and we'll be, at the end of the call, we'll be pointing towards some action steps that folks can take both to resist in Frankfort and to build power back home. But right now, we are going to dig in on that story of resistance from Tuesday and hand it over to Tona Barkley, who is originally from Paducah and now lives in Owen County.
Okay. Hi, everybody. I'm retired, and since I've been retired, I worked very hard with KFTC for several years on climate change and energy transition. And then I was like, I'm tired now. I'm going to the House. I'll give you some money. But since this election, everything has changed, and I've been looking for a way to, you know, to be part of a resistance that's very effective. And everything I'd done with KET previously had been KFTC as an organization had been extremely effective in their approach to getting things done and to helping grassroots people. So I thought, well, I'll go to this action. And it did not fail. I was, again, very impressed with the way it was all set up. We had excellent training, including the night before, I was on a phone call about how to do live streaming from the event, and I did that, which I wouldn't have done if I hadn't had that training. So I just thought, wow, it was brilliantly designed and organized and thought out, and it felt wonderful to be with people from across the state who are on the same page with me. And so, you know, then eventually we got to the actual action. The morning was training. At lunch we met with other people, and we wrote postcards. There was an action station for us to do things like put people's legislators' phone numbers in our phones and get our signs ready. We had to wear signs on our bodies because it's against policy to carry signs inside of the Capitol. So we had these big 8x10 signs that said, I stand for, and you could write whatever you stand for on that, which was great because everybody could express themselves. But there were, I don't know how many people were there, but it was, I'd say, between 100 and 200. And I was lucky enough to be stationed right at the end of the tunnel where legislators were coming out of the annex where their offices are, to walk through this underground tunnel over to the Capitol to go to their either the Senate or the House. And we lined that tunnel. We were on both sides of the tunnel, standing there with our signs on, and the moment when everybody was like, shh, time to be quiet, that was a very, very powerful moment, and actually something I had never done before in any kind of a protest situation. And it was immediately something beautiful and powerful. And so I was right at the end where I got to see people, either legislators or staff or other people who were there to lobby, come and walk down those little stairs and see, wow, this whole tunnel is like there's people standing looking at us with signs on. And you could tell by their faces that they were a little bit stunned. And there were different reactions. Some were embarrassed. Some were, you know, trying to be nice. Well, hi, hello. And, of course, we didn't speak back. Some were maybe trying to ignore us. And then there were some who said, you're my heroes. Thank you for doing this. So that was really cool. And the other great thing about it was that we were positive. We were not just protesting. We were saying what we stand for. And it made me think about, I was on the internet with, you know, somebody, a person from the other side being kind of nasty on Facebook. And I tried to diffuse him by saying, well, what do you stand for? What do you want to see? And he was like, you know, oh, now the liberals are going to get theirs, you know. And I said, no, but what do you believe in? And he said, what is this, a values pissing contest? And I said, no, I really want to know what you believe in. And he went away. He couldn't say what he believed in. And I think that's what we have. We know what we believe in. We stand for a beautiful vision. And KFTC defines that. And I think that conservatives don't have that. They don't have a vision like that. So anyway, then after that, after it was about time for the session to start, my group, which was at the very end, started walking through and we started the chanting. And we went up to the bottom of both staircases of the House and the Senate alternately. And that was fabulous, too. Everybody chanting, and we had a bunch of union people with us, and it was just the most a feeling of solidarity and power, which we all need right now. So KFTC... once again lived up to my high expectations, and I'm ready to keep standing up and fighting back with KFTC.
And that interaction that you had, that is all really fun stuff to hear, and we really appreciate it. So not all of the action took place in Frankfort on Tuesday. So now we're going to hear from Leslie Garrett, who participated in a Stand for Kentucky Solidarity event that was happening in Paducah on Tuesday. Maybe some of you all had not heard about this event yet, but it got some national media coverage, which is just amazing. So Leslie, can you tell us a little bit about why you all did a solidarity event and what happened and what you think?
Yeah, no problem. Actually, it was mostly led by a Facebook friend of mine, because I had been watching posts by KFTC. I knew this Stand for Kentucky was happening, and one of my Facebook friends posted how, like, she wanted to do something. She was feeling so hopeless and aggravated at everything that was going on, and she just wanted to do something to show that Paducah is not a community that will take any of this. So I reached out to her, and I said, let's do this. And so we ended up, I told her about the KFTC event and was like, hey, would you like to connect it to that so we can kind of get word out about KFTC since we're forming a chapter in Western Kentucky soon? And she was super excited about it. So we took the time, and I took care of the permits together and got the police there to make sure it remained peaceful. And on Tuesday night at 5:30, we had about 100 people show up. And we just let everybody share one at a time, like what brought them there, whatever their cause was that they were representing. And we had a pretty diverse crowd. It was cross-generational. And it was really cool to see everyone come together. Why I wanted to get involved with it was mostly just for unification of efforts in favor of all Kentuckians. I was really triggered by the immigration ban. That bothered me a lot, but there hasn't really been a positive thing, in my opinion, that's happened yet. So I was mostly hoping to empower people to have their voices heard for their issues specifically. One of the really cool things about it was, like, it was an opportunity for Facebook friends to kind of meet each other in person. And that connection that was made will hopefully lead to more action in real time pretty soon. So, yeah, that was the gist of it. Like I said, we have over 100. It was covered by local media, and it was all a pretty good success, and I'm hopeful that it will lead to united efforts.
Thanks, Leslie. This is Sarah. What were some of the things that folks showed up for, like they stood for, some of that diversity?
We had multiple people there that had also participated in the Women's March, and we had a few people that were there whose family members had been immigrants at one point or were immigrating and were affected by that ban. So those are a couple of the issues represented, and we had one person who specifically spoke to, like, local racism issues. So he was there representing racism not only locally but nationally as well. Yeah, so there's a little bit of everything.
And I have just one more question for you. What's it like to have 100 people in Paducah? Is that something that is common for rallies and things like that there?
Yeah, that was a really good turnout. We are a smaller community. We've got a population of about 25,000, so we are a micropolitan. But as far as, like, last minute, because we had just scheduled this, like, last week, so it was a pretty quickly put together happening. So to have 100 people show up was really encouraging, and, like, it said to me that there are definitely people that are hoping to do something and not just sit around and mope or complain about it, but actually show up and talk to one another.
That's awesome, Leslie. Thank you so much for helping to organize and sharing out that story from Paducah. That's amazing.
Yeah, it was an honor.
So now, with both of those actions, the one in Frankfort and the one in Paducah, those were organized around a broad framework for our progressive vision for Kentucky. And then at times we need to narrow down to focus in to really affect change, and that's the space that we're in very often too, working on specific pieces of legislation and specific bills. So right now we're gonna hone in on an opportunity that we have around healthcare on the federal level. So we know that looking ahead, we have this really teeny tiny short window to communicate with Kentucky's congressional delegation while they're in Kentucky. And we know that that's going to be especially important because we know that it's been really difficult. I know that lots of you all have probably been making calls to McConnell and sending emails to McConnell and have been getting some of the bounced back emails and some of the phone lines that don't let you leave a message and you just can't get a hold of them sometimes. So we have this week where we can where they're going to be in the state from the 20th to the 24th. When they get here, we'll have some actions that week, and we want them to be greeted by a whole stack of fresh phone calls from Kentuckians. So we're going to focus in on several of our members take action on healthcare and are organizing around healthcare, and one of them is Dana Beasley Brown down in Bowling Green. So I'm going to hand it over to Dana to talk a little bit about why she takes action on healthcare.
Hi, friends. My name is Dana, and I live in Bowling Green, Kentucky with my husband, who is a pastor, and my two kids, who are 9 and 6. I just want to tell you guys a little bit about myself. I grew up in a large, hardworking, blue-collar family. We all pitched in to make it day to day. As soon as I was old enough to sit next to my dad in a delivery truck or babysat, I was working. But when life has you on the bottom of the economic pit, it is very hard to get out. Not knowing if you will eat the next day or if you will have a place to live is a very tough existence. My childhood was hard, but it made me a fighter and a survivor. I dreamed a lot about the life I would like to build for my kids. One with stability and opportunity. Sorry.
Love you, Dana.
But about... Thanks.
All your friends.
But about 9 months after my son was born, my left wrist started to swell. I lost almost all ability to use my left hand. They said I had mom's wrist from lifting up a healthy butterball baby out of a crib repeatedly. I had my daughter 2 years later. By that time, my shoulders were in constant pain, and I could not even do simple tasks like take my baby's wet clothes out of the washer to dry them. By this time, the doctors thought I had torn rotator cuffs. They said I needed an MRI, but I could not afford it. However, later that year, I met my deductible unexpectedly, so I was able to get that MRI. I remember the phone call from my doctor like it just happened. He said there were no injuries, past or present. I was thrilled. I will never forget the way his voice sounded when he had to interrupt my glee of relief with bad news. My shoulders and wrist had major inflammation. Without an injury, it meant my immune system was attacking my joints for no good reason. It was not an injury I could heal. It was not fixable. The news was devastating. Fortunately, they had medicine that could help, and it was affordable. But unfortunately, I had to stop that first-line treatment for my disease because it was damaging my liver. So I tried to fix it through my diet. But my immune system roared back even harder. At that point, I could not stand up straight. I had to stand bent in a 45-degree angle. I had to roll my feet to the outside and walk on the sides of my feet because it felt like the balls of my feet were going through my skin. I was broken. At 32 years old, I could not participate in my own life. As a very independent woman with big dreams, this was very hard. I felt like a horrible mother and partner. I had to say no every time my son asked me to throw a ball. I could not pick my daughter up when she cried. But thankfully, my story does not end there. Because of taxpayer-funded scientific research from public universities, they have new medicine for people like me. It changed my life. The first day I took my shot, I ran outside and took an electric hedge trimmer, really heavy, and I trimmed all of our bushes just one after another. I couldn't believe that I could use my arms and my hands, and I had energy. And I did lots of just silly, normal stuff like that that I hadn't been able to do for years. I am now in remission, and I'm grateful for each day I have that I can live my life to the fullest because of this medicine. Unfortunately, with the recent calls for the repeal of Obamacare, my verve for life is mixed with fear. I have an existing condition, and I take one of the most expensive medicines on the market, and I have to take it every week. I hate to burst Senator Rand Paul's bubble since he just announced his replacement plan, but his 2-year open enrollment period is a joke. Without a mandate, no insurance company in 100 years would voluntarily take me on as a patient. But I will not be able to afford my medicine without insurance, and it is my only option. Thankfully, I am not alone. Many folks directly affected and many others who understand health care as a fundamental right have made their voices heard, and the conversation has shifted in the last few weeks. We are making progress, and it's good news, but we have to keep the pressure up. So I think Jessica is going to talk about how we're going to do that together.
Thanks, Dana.
We need our own second here. we're affected by your story. And I'm sure there are other folks on the who are on mute who are probably in the same state as us right now hearing that.
And so, y'all, this is exactly why we organize, because there is beauty and power in so many of our stories and importance in so many of our stories and in our lives. And these policies are what are impacting us. And as Kentuckians, we have a responsibility and the right to direct the president of the Senate on the federal level. You know, we have Mitch McConnell here. We have Rand Paul, who's very influential in this. And we have Brett Guthrie, who's very influential in this. So we have power as being Kentuckians, and we have every reason in the world to do everything we can to make a difference.
So we're going to come back in a little bit to talking about exactly some very specific next steps we can take around and action items. Having been motivated by Dana's story, our own experiences, those of all those others that we care about in this world, around the healthcare issue. Before a little bit, we want to get y'all talking to each other. You know, you've heard from us quite a bit, and so this is one of this technology. It's just great that we can be all over the state and in different places, and you'll go into small breakout rooms. So it's almost like if you were at a conference and you would like go walk over to another room and be in a small breakout room. That's going to happen here on the phone call. And I'm going to give you a discussion question to get started. So you'll be in groups of, you know, four or five or six, four or five. And so when you go into this small room, if everyone would go around and say your name and where you're calling from, and then just briefly say if you were at the Stand for Kentucky Action in Frankfort, or if you were at Action somewhere else, or if you followed along online. And even if you didn't, like, that is perfectly fine. You're here now. This is how you are in it. So just share that so folks can sort of share a little bit about, like, you know, to say I was there very briefly. But so share your name, where you're calling from, and, you know, if you took part in the action in some way on Tuesday. And then here's a question for you all to discuss. So if everyone can take about 1.5 minutes to talk about how you can stand up in your community in a way that builds power and resiliency. What will you stand for? What are the issue or the issues that you will stand for, and who will you stand with? How can this moment of resistance build the community that we need for the long haul? As you can tell, we've learned here how important it is to have community in this work. So that's a lot of questions, I know, but in general, it's like, how can you stand in your community in a way that builds power and resiliency and deeper community? What will you stand for? Who will you stand with? Just sort of a bit of a discussion for a minute and a half on that sort of general theme so we can learn from each other. It's going to be one person is going to have to just be that awkward person to say, I'll do it, I'll go, and just say your name, where you're calling from, if you were part of the action, and how what you want to stand up for and how you'll do that in your community to build longer-term power. So we're going to do this for about 10 minutes. You'll hear, Zoe gives everybody a minute or two, and you'll hear at 9 minutes a tone that will let you know that there's 1 minute left. When you hear that, pick one person if you want in your group, and we can hear a report out from a couple of the groups. So at the 1 minute, I think I might be able to let you all know that there's 1 minute and to pick a report out person. So I hope all that makes sense. You'll be put into the groups, and then I think you'll hear a tone, and you can start talking with each other.
You are now in a breakout. Please begin. You have 1 more minute. Please bring your conversation to a close. This breakout session is now ending.
You hit on your keypad, or you would just like something you'd like to share out from your small group, go ahead and hit 1 on your keypad. We have, there's a couple folks. Let me see if I can figure out where they are. So we're still like working. Here we go. Taja.
Okay.
If you'd like just like a minute to report back on how the conversation was going in your small group.
Well, we had a very small group, and with Natalie from Bowling Green, and my other name is Natalie too. So we talked about healthcare. And that he's very interested in, and so am I. And I was, he was telling me about her experience with dealing with healthcare, and I was sharing about my experience of living in the country with universal healthcare that I highly recommend to everybody. And I also have a question. If there is anybody in the group who is from Pikeville, because of the conference, Nazi conference that is being planned in Pikeville in April, and I'm very interested in doing something about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we can't, I'm from near Pikeville. I live down in, around Whitesburg, and so there are a lot of folks working on resisting the white nationalists, the neo-Nazis that are having a conference at the end. At the end of April, and it was just announced, day before yesterday, maybe even just yesterday. And so KFCC, we are like working on thinking about what our response is, and we just Taja, we just really don't have the technology right now to connect people like that. But you can just stay to what we're working on, and hopefully there'll be other ways to connect with folks around that. But there's definitely lots of folks working on it.
Thank you.
Thank you. So, Neil, would you like to report out just about a minute how conversation in your group went?
Sure. Our conversation in our group primarily came around, talked about mostly preserving our democracy and what we've got going on, what we're up against so far. Also, there was a couple of good ones in there about restoring rights of votes for people who have been convicted of a felon. Black Lives Matter, of course, is always a good one. climate change, another great one, and my personal one is I really want them to stop outlawing Mother Nature and let people decide what plants they want to put in their body for medicinal purposes, and that's about it.
Great, thanks. Where are you calling from?
I'm from Lexington. I've recently moved back to the country, but I'm back home in Lexington now.
Oh, great. Well, thank you. Appreciate it. Your report back. So we don't want to keep folks past 9 o'clock Eastern here. So we're going to go ahead. I'm glad it's so good to hear that folks are having good conversations and connecting on a conference call in a way that feels good and real. So really appreciate y'all hanging on the line and doing that. And so we're going to wrap up now with some action items and opportunities for y'all to sort of commit to taking some actions. And when you do that, we'll get some supports for you. So we'll go through four different things where you can punch a number to say, like, yes, I want to do that, and I want some supports for doing that. We'll get an email. Everybody who registered for this call will get an email tomorrow with these action items. So you can. So if you punch a number to say, yeah, I want to do that, just know that you're going to be supported. And then when you get that email, you can be in touch with us too. So we are going to go through that right now.
Yep. So the first option, first commitment, is can you commit to make a call on Valentine's Day, next Tuesday, about healthcare to someone in our congressional delegation? If you can do this, please press 1. We'll make sure to send you an action email tomorrow. We'll have more information, talking points, any of the supports that you need to make that call. Part of the story is that we want to show that a lot of people make those calls because we'll want to escalate that tactic throughout February. So it would be great if you can make a call about healthcare to the congressional delegation. Please press 1.
Yeah, if you can do that, press 1. You know, and it'll be a call-in day that lots of other folks, and we're going to get the word out on social media and all of that. And we even have a new thing where we have a file that you can download that can populate your address book with all the congressional phone numbers and addresses. So if you can, knowing that you'll have support for that, want to make those calls next Tuesday, press, as a part of a concerted effort, press 1. Give you like one more chance to press 1. And we have 86% of the folks on this call are committed to making a call for on their healthcare call-in date. And that's really great. Some of y'all might not have been able just to even, you know, you're doing other things. So y'all get the information about how to do that. So we have another.
Okay, so that's on the federal level. And then we also want to do stuff on the state level, too, with our state lawmakers. So this one's about building power back home, but also engaging in the legislative session through having an at-home meeting. This might sound intimidating, but we do this all the time. We support folks to do this all the time, and it's actually quite easy, and it's a great way to get to know the person who represents your area and to set some habits in place to hold them accountable for their votes or to congratulate them on good votes. If you can do this, press 2. This could be a meeting that you request, or it could be showing up at a town hall with a friend or two to ask some good questions. The goal is to have a conversation with your representative about the issue that you care about. So if you can do this, then press 2.
Right now we have about a third of the folks on the call have committed to doing that.
Ooh, it just jumped up to half the people on the call. That's awesome. So we have a toolkit that has conversation guides. We'll have support on issues that we work on. We even have a way that you can share back what that conversation was like into KFCC's database so that we're able to build off of the conversations that everybody has with their legislator when we follow up with them in Frankfurt or in other at-home conversations. We'll share that information out. So press 2 if you can have a conversation with your legislator in your home district.
Yeah, this is your last chance for pressing number 2. We have 54%. One more chance for pressing 2. There we go, 59. So we got lots of folks wanting to get active and do some great things. And this is a part. I know this is a part that I said would sound like a public radio telecast. Next we have two more things to ask. We're having a call on Saturday. It's a video webinar, so it won't be a call like this. It'll be one you get online, and you actually get to see other people and connect with other people. And it's called We Have a Vision, Taking Action with Kentuckians for the Commonwealth. So part of this is like lots of new folks are really wanting to take action and get involved. There's a lot of other sort of like movement groups popping up to hold officials accountable, but we know that folks are also wanting to get part of a long-term community and building long-term power, and to learn about KFTC is one way to do that. So we're providing an opportunity for all kinds of folks who have gotten really are new to KFTC to join this video sort of meeting on Saturday. So if you're interested in joining the meeting on Saturday, press 3. It's at 2 o'clock. And you can do it from the comfort of your own home. You can, there's even an app you can use on your phone to get on the video. You'll learn a lot about KFTC, how and why we take action, and meet other folks like through video on how to do that. So if you can do that, press 3. If you're interested in attending that call, great. We're getting up about a third of the folks on the call. We're getting closer to 50% of folks on this call want to go a little bit deeper. So press 3 if you'd like to be on this call. And we'll email you when we email you tomorrow. You'll have the contact. You have the information on how to register for that and dial into that. So, one more chance. If you want to be on a call to go deeper with KFTC and meet folks, particularly if you're in a an area where you don't get to see folks a lot through video, press 3. Yeah. And we'll do one line. And if you can't do that and you want to invite your friends, so can you attend or invite your friends? I'll give everybody a chance to hit 3. Can you either come or invite your friends to the meeting on Saturday? Hit 3. There we go. Lots more folks. Because I know some of y'all are already deep in KFTC, and you know a lot of this stuff. So if you can come to the call at 2 or invite your friends, hit 3. One more time. One last chance to hit 3. Oh, there we go. We're at 2/3. Awesome. Y'all are great. This is so great. It's so fun to be on this end of the call and see the little hands raised. I recommend it sometime. So then the final thing we want to ask is this work to do all of this, to run this technology, to help organize, to help get folks to places takes resources. I mean, it takes heart, and it takes what you heard in Dana's voice, and it takes commitment, and it takes community. But we also know it takes financial resources to keep this going. So if you would like and commit to supporting KFTC with a donation, would you press 4 as a way to support this work, to keep this work going? So if you can support KFTC with a donation, press 4 on your keypad. We'll send you a link to be able to do that real easy. Press 4 if you can commit to doing that, and that could just let us know how many folks on this call we're interested and commit to doing that. You can also do it right now if you're on a phone or at home, kftc.org/support. So you can do that right now, and if you do, press 4 right now. If you want to do it when you get off the call, go ahead and press 4 if you can commit to supporting KFTC. So we are almost half folks on the call. Can one more person commit to supporting KFTC? There we go. We're right at half the folks on the call. Really, really appreciate that, everybody, from all that you bring to it, including financial resources. We'll get an email tomorrow about how to easily do that. So, Jess, is there anything that you want to say to wrap us up?
Thank you all for participating on Tuesday in whatever way that you did, and thank you for being on this call tonight and sharing out and learning from each other and creating some good movement in Kentucky tonight. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. One thing I want to go back and say, you know, Dana shared her story, and we said we just ended up not talking because of time as much about what the healthcare call-in day and how that's a direct response to stories like Dana's. And just to know that that's on Tuesday, and it was going to be a thing that we're serious about, and we're so appreciative for y'all, most all y'all volunteering to participate in that. And I just wanted to lift that up before we got off here. So we're going to do one last thing that always feels so good and so great. We're going to take everybody off mute to say goodbye to each other here in just a couple seconds. So I'll tell you when we count down.
Goodbye.
Sorry about that. Yeah, if you're still on there, a little technical problem, but there were lots of people saying goodbye, and we created a vortex in the universe, so really appreciate y'all. We'll try again next time to be able to hear the chorus of voices. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank
everyone.
You.
Bye, all.
Bye.
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 Bye. Goodbye, all. It was great. Okay. Thanks for your work.
Bye, bye. Bye.
Hey, we're in a private room now.
Okay.
Hey. Sorry,
Dana,
it was so loud. Dana's not there anymore. It's just Diane Gunther.
I guess I don't have the. It's not current on what I'm looking at. It's a little delayed, maybe. Thanks, Dara. That was awesome.
You're welcome. Great.
I
think it went really well.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just saying, I think it went really well.
Yeah, I do too. This is the first time we've used it for such a broad range of issues. Before it was pretty narrow, and this was a tryout. So you'll send me the link to this. You'll send a spreadsheet for the different folks that.
Yeah, I already emailed it to you.
Okay.
So I will paste the link in here as well if you want.
No, if you already did that, that's great.
Okay.
Actually, I don't see it.
Okay.
I showed up somewhere else.
Okay. Yeah, let me, I'll paste the link into the, are you looking at the chat box?
Which chat box?
Of the call. The chat box of the call.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me paste it in there. And you should have gotten an email about it as well.
Yeah, I think it went into one of my other folders. I don't see it in the chat. I don't see it in the chat box, but I think I'm a little delayed or something here now.
Okay. So. I will G-chat it to you as well.
Okay. Great.
Just
thank
so you have it in multiple ways. You're welcome. Thank you. And congratulations. It was a great call.
Okay. Thanks. Good night.
Night. Bye now.
You are currently